Tonight, Matthew chapter number 5. I sure do love your church family. Can't believe it has been a year since our family rolled in here a year ago today and met you for the very first time. And what an incredible 365 days it has been. And I'm looking forward to another 365 days of serving our Savior. Let's all stand. Matthew chapter number 5. We've been here looking at the Sermon on the Mount over the last several weeks. And we're here in verse number 7. Verse number 7 here of Matthew chapter number 5. Would you follow along as I read? The Bible says this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I want us to look at that. Everybody look at it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This evening, I want us to concentrate our time here for just a moment on this subject: how the merciful are blessed. How the merciful are blessed. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for our time tonight. Pastor Chris said it. Lord, it's been amazing just singing and uplifting your name tonight, especially by Miss Susan and Brother Dan standing up here and singing. Lord, I trust that it's been honor and glorifying to your name. Fathers, we come now to this moment. Sunday night's really one of my favorite nights. I love it because we get to dive into your word. We get to go a little bit deeper. We get to take these thoughts. And Lord, on a night where, Pastor Dan's right, it is already dark out. We got a good hour of sleep. But now, Father, you know, 6 o'clock, it's dark. And it could be a little bit depressive. But Father, you enlighten us. And you're positive and you're incredible. And Lord, you always on Sunday nights give us what we need for the rest of the week. So God, do that tonight. As we dive into this verse, if we have not done so, may our prayer be right now, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to my heart. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Beatitudes have been described, as we've seen over the last several weeks, as attitudes that ought to be in a believer's life. As Jesus continues this sermon on kingdom living, he now changes his focus over to the subject of mercy. The subject of mercy. Love the Christmas season, and maybe not all of us, but most of us like this time of year. At least one or two things about it. As we enter into this Christmas season, there is one thing that many of us really do, whether we admit it or not, it doesn't matter what life stage you're in, many of us really like to, if not all of us like to, you ready for this? Receive a gift. Everybody likes to receive a gift. It's great, it's wonderful. You can say all you want to, oh, you didn't have to get me anything. But on the inside, you're like a little 8-year-old kid that's jumping up and down. Woo-hoo-hoo, I got a gift. We're excited. We like gifts that are given to us. My daughter, London, turned 8 years old today, and London's here this evening. London's been given gifts, and London would admit tonight she likes to receive those gifts. We all do. It's that Christmas season. We love to give, absolutely, but there's a part of us that we do like to receive. Well, I want us for a moment to comprehend something. Now, in this passage, we're talking about mercy. And one of the greatest gifts bestowed upon mankind is mercy from God. You and I are reminded throughout the Word of God that we have a merciful Savior. Now, how many are thankful we have a merciful God? Would you say amen tonight? We all should be thankful. I'm right there with you. Amen to that. We are thankful that we serve a merciful God, a God that each and every day bestows upon us mercy that you and I really do not deserve. I often say to my family, I have no idea why God would give me and our family and maybe even us in this room, why does God give you and I the time of day? I love the passage of Scripture that says it this way: what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? I've said it before, I love that song that says, every day I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. It's his mercy that he bestows upon you and I, and we accept that mercy without a doubt. We love that mercy that you and I receive from our Savior. And because of that, you and I, because of that mercy, we're not only going to get to spend time with him on this earth, but you and I, for all of eternity, eternity get to live with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? You and I ought to be thankful for that. You and I, that's what ought to be or draw out the praise out of our lips and out of our mouth. That's why so often I say this. It's not a cool thing to come in and just to stand there while the song service is going on. I know sometimes maybe there's an age group right around the maybe 15, 16 years of age where, you know, you just came through and your voice has changed yet and you're part of that crew, a cool crowd that, you know, it's just part of the cool crowd. It's not. We're not going to sing. You know, we just stand here and look very stoic. And boy, God, I'm really pleasing to you. But I comprehend this. Like, I'm not making fun of anybody. But God wants to hear praise come out of our mouths. God wants to see you and I giving him praise and honoring him and singing to him with the voice that we have. And I know so often we say, and I say it myself, I don't have that great of a voice. And I'm not one of these soloist type. But you know what? I am perfectly and wonderful. Wonderfully made. God gave me the voice that he gave me. Therefore, when we're singing, I'm just going to lift up praise to my Savior. That's why the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Mercy, think about it for a moment. Think about the mercy that God bestows upon you and upon me. We don't have time this evening to go and look at everything in a one simple message on mercy. But mercy is found 276 times in 261 verses. Now, if you want me to read all those verses, well, we can gladly do that, but we might be here to school tomorrow. And the word mercies is found 44 times in 44 verses. And the word merciful is found 40 times in 36 verses. You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. God enriches us over and over again daily with the mercy that he gives in our lives. I want us to ponder this. As we dive into these Beatitudes, these attributes, this teaching that Christ is doing to these 12 men here on the side of this mountain, as we think about mercy for a moment and we think of the giving and the getting that we get from it, I want us to first ponder our merciful Savior. I want us to think about him for just a moment as we dive into this. First of all, if you're taking notes to this evening, the Lord is merciful in his salvation. The Lord is merciful in his salvation. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Listen to this verse. You're going to love it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Titus chapter 3 says, but after the kindness and love of our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, listen to this, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, of the great love wherewith he loved us. That means this. He saw our sinfulness. He still sent a Savior. We deserved not to go to heaven, but you and I deserve hell. Yet he sent his only begotten Son that you and I can have a relationship with him. That means this. It's good at times just to pause and just to meditate on the mercy of our Savior. It's good to pause and to meditate that, listen, if you and I are saved, we're going to heaven. Listen, friend, don't ever lose that incredible feeling that you and I get that when we lay our head down on our pillow at night, we're not worried about a place called hell. Amen. I mean, you agree, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. There's a lot of things we worry about. We do. We worry about a lot of things. But you know, we never worry about hell for those of us who are saved. Why don't we? Because of his mercy. His mercy, he saved you and I. And yeah, I wonder at times, when is the last time we just stepped out? We're heading into a Thanksgiving season. I know I'm with you on that, where we go straight from Halloween straight to Christmas, and we don't concentrate on Thanksgiving very much. And look, I'm with you. I can't wait to eat a Thanksgiving meal, and we stop around our table, and we go around, and what's everybody thankful for? Okay, we're thankful. But let's just put it this way. Do we really have to wait one day a year to be thankful for the mercy that God bestows upon our lives? Absolutely not. No, we ought to be thankful and understand that you and I have a merciful Savior. Listen to this carefully. And the Lord is merciful in His salvation. But the Lord also is merciful in His provision. Excuse me for just a moment. He's merciful in His provision. The Bible says this. In Psalm chapter 78, it says, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." Listen very carefully. God has been good to us. God's been good to us. Even when you and I have not been so good to him. God's been good to you and I. Even when you and I have not been so good to him. He is rich in his mercy, is rich in his merciful provision to you and I. He's never let us down in the years that you and I have been saved, in the months that you and I have been saved, in all the time. Does not matter how long you and I have been saved. God has never let us down. This provision is not looking and comparing. No, this provision is being thankful that although you and I don't always deserve it, God's mercy is there. And that rich mercy and that rich grace, it's bestowed and it's dumped and it's dumped and it's dumped upon us each and every week. And look, I know we can be in a comparative mindset. Well, I don't have what Bruce and Gail have. Bruce and Gail can say, well, we don't have what the shepherds have. And shepherds can say, we don't have what the Titans have. And the Titans can say, well, we don't have what the Williams have. Well, we can go in this circle and play that game our entire life, comparing that we don't have what everybody else has. But friend, when we gaze at God, when we begin to look at who he is and the mercy that he bestows upon us, even in the weeks that we don't crack our Bibles open, even in the weeks we take more time complaining than we do praising, even in the moments of the time and we seek advice from everybody else but forget to go to God, even in those weeks, he is constantly compassionate towards you and I and constantly abundant in his mercy that he gives you and me. Aren't we thankful for that tonight? Man, what a God that you and I serve. My goodness, a God that continues to look at who you and I are and bless us and give us that mercy, those provisions, taking care of you and I. And in the moments where I get, we're down, and boy, the stock market's down, 401k's not going good, or lost the job, or man, this ran out. We feel like, oh, good night. Well, we feel like we are not making. Look, funds at the job may run out, or they may get low in the bank, but comprehend this. God's mercy never runs out, friend. Never runs out. It never runs dry. There is no drought with God's mercy. There is no, oops, that's it. No, he is abundant in his mercy, in his provision, but the Lord is merciful in his protection. In his protection. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 8, I love this verse. It says, I will both lay me down and in peace. Listen to this very carefully. It says, and sleep, for thou, Lord, listen now, only makest me to dwell in safety. He said this, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His trust shall be thou shield and thy buckler. When you and I don't deserve it, isn't it amazing that God continues to protect you and I? You and I ought to be thankful for his merciful protection, even when you and I are away from him, even when you and I don't comprehend or understand. And there are those times, I just want to put it this way. Listen, I want us to comprehend, and we saw it a little bit this morning in the life of Moses, but we have to comprehend that we are human. Look, friend, we are human. We go through tough times. They're just like God. There are those times that can I trust God here? Is God really going to move? Is he really going to protect? I get that at times it can be scary. Over the last year and a half, we've heard so much from the WHO and the CDC and from our doctors and nurses and back and forth and so many vaccinations and this, we have so many opinions and to be, let's just be real for a second. There's been times we've all been confused. You know, God's never been confused. There's times we don't know if we can go on. We don't know if we can move on. We know that at times there's a heaviness that comes on us. If you are a disciple of Christ, you and I take a lot on our shoulders. We bear each other. We help each other. We're there. Look, this afternoon was not praying for the Shepherd family. I'm calling out to God on behalf of others. And at times it's heavy. And comprehend this. God is merciful in his protection to always be there with us. Amen. When we don't understand, he's going to be there to help us sleep. He's going to be there to protect our families and to help us. I have 6-year-old twins. If we have any visitors here tonight, many of you now know Nora and Rose. And I do want to say this. I'm so thankful for our Sunday school teachers here, and everybody works in the nursery. Y'all, and on Wednesday nights, y'all do such an amazing job. Without a doubt, our kids would not have been saved at an early age if it wasn't for folks like you. Aren't you thankful for Sunday school teachers? Amen. I just wanted to say that publicly. Thank you so much. This was a couple weeks ago, my twins were, I don't know what took place. None of my kids really, London, they're not really scared of the dark or, you know, they're not... They'll go downstairs and get water. You know, most kids have turned on every light in the house. They'll go down. All five of our kids, you know, they take after Carrie a little bit. But they go down. They're not scared of anything. They'll go down in the dark. They'll do this. But for some reason, so I don't know what happened, and our girls were a little bit afraid to go to sleep. I said, what's wrong? And, Nora, what is the deal? Well, we're just scared. And they both jump in bed with each other, and they're sleeping. I said, look, you got twins here, and God's here, and he's going to protect you. It's going to be good. Can you turn on a nightlight? You don't need a nightlight. Oh, we want a nightlight. All right, turn the light on. Dad, we're still scared. It's like, I don't know about y'all. Carrie is super patient in moments like this. Like, oh, honey, it's okay. Let's get out the Bible and read. I'm just like, be quiet and go to bed, okay? I'm turning the light off. We'll see you in the morning, okay? I don't know why. Just a little bit impatient, but I'm working on it. Nonetheless, I'm like, oh, okay, God, give me patience here, and you have patience with me. So here we go. So I'm like, all right, girls, look, I'm just going to tell you, and I took their hands, both of them. I said, look, I sat down their bed. I said, God is going to be here, and he's gonna see us through. Why don't we just pray? Let's just go ahead and pray. I'll pray, then Rose, you pray, and then Nora, you pray. And so I prayed, not just a little simple, quick prayer. I'm like, Lord, just be the twins. They're a little bit scared tonight. Let them know there's nothing under their bed. There's nothing in their closet. There's no such thing as a boogeyman. You know, I'm trying to be funny. And I'm just praying with them. And I get done praying, and I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. It's fine. I kind of peek open, like, okay, Rose, your turn. And they were both sound asleep. Kind of like some of you in the room right now. But they were sound asleep. And I begin to think, really, what made the difference? Was it the prayer? Probably not. You know what it was? Having their father hold their hands. It's just the safety of having dad right there. At that moment, whatever it was that was bothering them, they knew dad's tougher, dad's bigger. You seen these bad boys? No, I'm just joking. They knew at that moment, dad's here. We can go to sleep soundly. Do you know our Abba Father is the same way? Go to sleep, child. I got it. Go to sleep, child. You're going to be okay. It's okay. You're going to get through these tough times. It's okay. I know you're worried. I know you're concerned. I know things don't seem to be going your way, but he is merciful in his protection. I look at this verse and look at, I will both lay me down in peace, the psalmist said, and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. That's mercy of our Abba Father, that you and I know, okay, not everything, whether it be an election or whether it be an illness, or whether it be finances or relationship or whatever the case might be, you and I can put all that to the side for a moment, because you and I can rest under the wings of the Almighty. But watch this. The Lord's also merciful in his forgiveness. His forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him and made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I love the verse of 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friend, no matter how terribly I fail him, he forgives me. No matter how terribly or often you and I fail him, he forgives us. No matter how many times you and I fail him, he forgives us over and over and over again. And let me put it this way. I am so thankful tonight that he forgives and he also forgets, friend. The Bible says, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. There is no better feeling in the world than understanding the mercy that God bestows upon you and I when we fail him and when we sin and when we ignore him and when we have those thoughts and when we have that habit and we jump in that habitual sin and over and over and over again, you and I fail our Savior. But friend, let me put it this way. God has never failed us and he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That would be wonderful enough, but not only does he forgive us, but the Bible says this, he takes our sin and he separates it as far as the east is from the west, and he forgets it. He no longer remembers it. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Done, forgiven, gone, in the past. Whoa! What a God we serve. Hello? He's merciful in his forgiveness. Aren't we thankful tonight that we can get down and say, God, I've sinned once again. I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Father, be with me. Help me. I'm turning from it. God, it's a new start. And God in heaven says, done. Done. Got it. God, are you sure about that? It's paid. It is finished. Wiped away. Well, I just don't know if I can really get over it. God did. I just don't know if I can really move on. Yeah, I don't know, Pastor. I really messed up on this one. Congratulations. We all do. Yeah, but I don't know if you really comprehend. I mean, I spent a little time in prison. I've been addicted to this for a long time, and I've gone back to it in this sin. I carry it each and every day. Why? Well, it's just really, it's really bad. It's really bad? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Pastor, I'd be super embarrassed to tell you what I've done. You don't have to tell me. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was the perfect lamb that was slain. You and I, we don't have to anymore. You and I don't have to die on a cross. You and I don't have to take it. Why? It's already been forgiven. He is our advocate, friend. He is there. It's under the blood. Stop going back to it. Let God have it, friend. That's what mercy is. That's what mercy does. That's what draws you and I to open a hymn book and sing his praises. That's what brings you and I back to serving him. That's what keeps us going. That's what gives us that pep. That's what gives us that joy. That's what gives us that peace, is knowing it's finished, friend. It's under the blood. It's in the past. He said, I'll make you a new creature. Well, can he do that? How many believe God created the universe? Say amen. Then I'm pretty sure he can make us a new creature. He's got it. It's done. Now watch this. We're almost done this evening. Remember that there's great joy that comes from the Beatitudes. So everybody look with me at Matthew 5. Look at verse number 7. Everybody look at this verse with me. Watch what it says here. It says this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We know Jesus is the greatest example. You be merciful, you're shown mercy. Now see, it's great. It's great to talk about God's mercy on us. It's a little bit more difficult to talk about our mercy on other people. Now, don't give me that look like, oh, really? I guess I never really thought about that. Yes, you and I know. It's not always easy. People hurt us. People say mean things about us. People aren't always just so happy to see our lives and the way we live. And there are people that are bullies, and there are people who have done some pretty awful things. And yet here the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. That's us, you and I, showing mercy. For they shall obtain mercy. You say, now, hold on, Pastor. Okay, I know where you're going with this. But here it is. Here it is. Okay, everybody look. Watch. Here it is, Pastor. I'm just going to put it all out there. For a long time, we've been hurt by this coworker. They've cheated and they've stolen. They've been awful and they've been rude. For a long time, we've been dealing with, we've been dealing with a mom or a dad, and I'm just telling you, we've been dealing with the grandparent, we've been dealing with the child, we've been dealing with the teenager, we've been dealing with the deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, we've been dealing with the coach, we've been dealing with a high school or a college professor. Okay, look, let's just fill it in tonight. We've been dealing with someone, and they have not been real fair. In fact, Pastor, they've really hurt us, and not once or twice, for a long time. If we were honest, we might even go as far to say they've become our enemy. Now, that's some strong words, but an enemy is someone who opposes us. Now, hold on. Now, just let's cool our engines for a minute and think about this. An enemy is somebody that we constantly think about. They're on our mind in a negative form most of the day, parts of the day, and sometimes even at night. Enemies keep us up at night. You ready for this? Enemies don't say, I'm sorry. Enemy sometimes goes against what you and I stand for. And Pastor, if you know this person, boy, if I just, hey, there's not enough time in the next week to lay out for you everything that this person or this boss or this manager or this family has done to our family, saved or unsaved. There's just not enough time. Would you go as far to say they're an enemy? Well, no, I would say they're an enemy. But do you go against, yeah, do I think about, yeah, do I think, okay. So basically, we don't want to call them an enemy because maybe they're even a brother in Christ. But, they just get under my skin. So what do we do? Pastor, what do we do? Well, to be honest with you, I don't have the answer. You've been here for a year and you don't have the answer? Sorry about that, but God does. God's got it. In fact, here's what he said. You ready for this? Here's what he said. He said, but I say unto you, here's what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Don't you just feel like this dark cloud coming here? Like, oh, can't we go back to God's mercy? Love your enemies. Do we have to finish on this? Okay. Do good to them which hate you. He said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, this isn't real good. This is not a place where we all want to stop. We want to talk about God and His mercy. Well, come on, don't we? George, help me out. We want to talk about God and His mercy. Nate, His mercy. But Mike, his mercy, Judy, his mercy, we want to talk about, oh, yes, bestow it upon me. I don't deserve it, but oh, what a great God I serve. And that's where we, let's camp out there for a little while, get a couple amens. We'll head out of here while all riled up for the week because how good God is. But all of a sudden you turn around and it's this. Blessed are the merciful, for they, the merciful, shall obtain mercy. There's a giving and there's a getting. There's something incredible that's about to take place. But all we want is the gift. Come on, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Come on, just let it roll. Mercy, 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 bestow it upon me. What a God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. I'll take some more. Mercy, God, that's what's on the menu today. Like a buffet, we'll take it over and over. I'm just going to get fat on His mercy. Here's what God says. I'm going to give you mercy, but you have to be merciful. You got to forgive. Well, they did not say that they were sorry. Love your enemies. Fine. I love you. I can't believe that even came out. And do good to them which spitefully use you. Do good. It's kind of a tough pill to swallow, is it not? Excuse me, Cross Point family. This got real deep. This gets a little bit tough. There's people who are mean, have hurt us. I don't know what to do about it. All I really want from them is, I'm sorry, forgiveness. I mean, I just want them to say, I was wrong. Guess what? Sometimes you're never, ever, 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 like ever, 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 ever going to get that. So what do? Love them anyways. Do good unto them. Well, what do you mean? Kill them with kindness. Just kill them. Some of you are laughing at that. I'm not sure why, Wilma, but you're with me on this. You got it, girl. She gets it. You just kill them with kindness. Just keep loving on them. They might be cold at first. They might not even hand out their hand. You just keep on shaking their hand. Well, I'm fine. Okay, then just start hugging them. They can't run if you hug them. They may try, but chase them. Let them know you're serious. Well, they don't deserve it. Oh. And we do? Oh, we do? Yet He gives it to us. Family, I want to help us tonight. There's a new year coming up. 2022. I like New Year's. It's kind of a fresh start. I don't like that Christmas is over, but I like this, a fresh start. We can all get serious about losing weight and all serious about reading our Bible through in a year. We can all get serious about, getting on track. But understand this. I think some of us are hanging on to some stuff from 2020 and 2019 and 2017 and 2015. And we've never shown mercy. A mercy that's maybe not even deserved. But God says to give it anyways. Have you been hurt? Sure. Is it painful? Without a doubt. I think what God's telling us tonight is it's time to put our hand to the plow. And it's time to press toward the mark. And it's time to start showing out some mercy. Why? Because a beatitude is an attitude, an attribute that ought to be in the life of a Christian. And while we soak up and we bask in His mercy, in His provision, and His protection, and His salvation, and oh, what a good God, oh, we worship You, oh, we love You, then we see somebody else, and that's not how it works. You want to obtain real mercy? Start giving it. You and I really want to move on with our lives? No, excuse me. I said, do you want to move on? That means you want to go to bed and sleep soundly? You want to stop thinking about yesterday and the hurt and how they treated my teenager and that manager that they put them above this person and that professor gave me the bad grade? Do you just really want to, you want to go the 6 months living there? You know what I mean? Sad? If that's what you want in life, take it, friend. But I'm here to tell you, I don't want it. You want to leave all that? Start giving out mercy. Start dishing out everywhere. Even those never said, I'm sorry. Even to those that, man, they use you. No, no. Love your enemies. Do good to them, which, check this out, hate you. That's some strong words that came from our Savior. But he sat his 12 men down after he just saw all the multitudes. He went up into a mountain and sat down and taught them, saying, and here's what he said. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.